You're listening to a Whales or Whales production.
You're also listening to Whales.
Visit whalesorwhales.com for more projects and shows like this one. This is the Overclocked Podcast, a weekly dose of video game music, news, and conversation from ocremix.org.
This week, we'll hear the 2016 debut remix from Overclocked Assembled, talk about the only news that matters to us, anyway, learn about Dark Sword's composition techniques, and finish up our massive 2015 playlist.
Welcome back to Overclocked Podcast.
Hey!
That's us.
Welcome to 2016.
Yeah, that's the year it is as well.
Yes, it is the year 2016.
Mm-hmm.
And we're pumped to be here.
Yep.
I don't really have anything.
You don't have anywhere else to go.
I don't have anywhere to go with that. Just those are two facts. I can start listing other facts if you would like.
No, we got to be professional here. I'm Steven.
Hi.
Hi. Who are you?
I'm Brian.
Okay.
See,
that's
I'm
good.
Still just listing facts. That's all I can do.
Our talents are a little shallow this episode, but that's okay.
Hey, I take offense to that.
I mean, hey, give us some credit. We, after going on break, we have put out 3 episodes in the space of a week.
That's so pretty impressive.
That's pretty good.
If we were getting paid per episode, that'd be even better.
Yeah, if we were getting paid, that would be even better.
You.
So, Brian, how would you rate 2016 so far on a scale of 1 to 10?
2016.
Oh, now that was a clever joke.
Thank you. I thought I was really good. I like 2016 so far.
Yeah,
so,
it's pretty good.
Funny thing to me, it was like, you know, I was super busy going into the holiday break and kind of getting burned out. And then I like took the holiday break and I'm like, okay, now I'm going to start and everything's going to be in order. And I started 2016 and then just got super busy and overwhelmed again. So I still have some things to get in order before I stop being stressed all the time. But, you know, I'm on the road to not dying.
Well, I've always said that something that will de-stress you is music.
I think that it really depends on the song.
It's usually secret music.
No, that sounds stressful.
It's not going to be stressful, I promise.
I don't believe you.
Because the secret song that I brought today will fill you with good feelings and nostalgia.
Okay, which one are we going with? Mine or yours?
Let's start with mine.
Okay.
So we can start 2016 off right.
Hey!
So, 1, 2, 3, click.
What? Oh, it's Eggman's theme. What's going on here? What the? Why is it not sounding like Eggman's theme? Seems like an instrumental version that, like, tried to remove his vocals, but there's still a little bit of him in the background.
It's from an official Sonic game. Or at least from a Sega game.
Oh. Mix plus lyrics. So it's, okay. It's Remix Factory and Paul Shortino, EGGMAN Docro Beatniks, mix plus lyrics in description. Oh, sorry, that was part of the... Yeah. Anyway, wow. It's from the Shadow the Hedgehog vocal tracks. I didn't know they did this.
Yeah, this is Eggman's theme song from Shadow the Hedgehog, which is remixed from Sonic Adventure 2.
Wow, a lot more dramatic.
Yeah, it gets the epic, edgy quality. What, you don't sound impressed?
I have no comment about
Is this stressing you out?
I kind of want to hear the original song.
Okay, well, we can do that during the break.
Sorry, I don't mean to be mean about your secret song.
Oh, no, it's quite all right. It falls short of the true beauty of the original.
I do love those guitars, though.
I thought it would be amusing to find a remix of
Ooh, that was good.
Eggman's theme that you've never heard before. Because for those of you who don't know, we are experts on Eggman's theme.
Yeah, I mean, seriously. I think literally the first song I learned to play on guitar.
Yeah, it was also...
I still don't know how to play the solo, though. It's really complex. Is it in this version?
I don't think they go into the whole solo.
All right. Still, that's cool to know that exists. For my secret song, I'm actually not sure if you've heard it before or not. I hadn't until, like, last week.
Okay, well, let's...
But it came out in 2015.
Oh, so it's even more thematic. All right.
So we're going to go 1, 2, 3, click. You ready?
Okay.
1, 2, 3, click.
Okay, this sounds like Kirby music, but I haven't heard it, so that makes me suspicious. It's jaunty and making me happy and relaxed.
I really like the melody.
I feel like it could use like a ukulele or banjo solo coming up though. Okay, this has got to be from a Kirby game.
Okay, it is very Kirby.
Is this from Kirby's magical draw on the Wii U tablet?
Kirby and the Rainbow Curse.
That's the one I was looking
for. It's
from
the beginning of a journey. It's like the first level.
Oh, that's cool.
Pretty much the whole game uses this, what would you say, modern drum set throughout.
Yeah, I was about to say, that's very... Usually the old games would use their tempo just with, you know, quick little beats and...
And it's an interesting soundtrack because I actually want to find the composer name. I should have had this ready. I thought it was, but... It is, from far as I could tell, the composer's first game. He had done sound design for a bunch of Nintendo games, but the composers for this game were Shogo Sakai and Megumi Ohara, and one of those two, I don't remember which, had just done like sound design in a bunch of games, and this is his first time I could find doing a soundtrack.
Well, I love that combination of the harmonica and the percussion.
The really interesting thing about the soundtrack is like, that is by far the most normal Kirby song on it, and he goes into a lot of like completely different directions with it.
Well, that's exactly the vibe I was getting. It's like, if you know Kirby music really well, you will hear some of the cues in the beginning and about halfway through, but then it really launches off into uncharted territory. The only reason I was so certain it was from a Kirby game is because I heard those unmistakable like melody references.
Yeah. And there, unlike most Kirby games, there aren't a lot of remix songs that I've run across so far. Most of it seems to be original material, and he goes in a lot of different directions. It's he has like kind of a like honky tonk piano type sound in one of it, and
that
he
sounds great.
And it's really cool soundtrack. I highly recommend checking it out. And it has that very different instrument set from what you typically hear in a Kirby game. So
yeah, it was good for the start of an adventure.
Yep,
it filled me with determination.
There's like a crazy boss song that has synth solos everywhere. It's really good stuff.
Cool.
So I recommend checking out the Rainbow
Kirby's at it again with another hit soundtrack.
Yeah, let's move on to the Remix Rewind.
Okay. Let's look at the
If you were to record for a sufficiently long period of time, you could in fact learn something about the collective behavior of the click call chaotic.
Metaphys, Brother Dom, Superior Rex, Jose the Bronx Rican, Jordanius, The Oracle, Bagoma, DigiValentine, nope, that's not an updated version of the Poké Rap. It's Overclocked Assembled, the force of superheroes who started with a funky beat from Knuckles Chaotix and ended up with Chaotix 5.
The sound that you're picking up. Chaotix interactions.
But I settle for the man. Call for a vector. I'm the leader. Understand Eggman, Batman. Just call us with the case. Watch the bad boys working like Puffy and Mace. Work hard, play hard. I love to see the green, but I still keep it real if you know what I mean. We'll find the reason why I'm giving you the rhyme. If you got the money, then we got the time. Started off 91, playing keys, having fun. But my destiny was calling me. Went to Angel Island, met up with the man with the pointy hair. Solved a little mystery. The rest is history. So I headed up a crew, and we do what we do. Bad Nicks better get a clue. If you step to us, you better step correct, or you'll be looking like you had a wreck.
Will Rock and the Moon from DuckTales. My first thought upon seeing Apollo Duck was simply, wait, he hasn't done this before? Turns out the answer is no, because I absolutely would have remembered this. With a marriage made in heaven, or at least in space, Will Rock cranks the radness and reverb up to 11, screaming his way through these familiar melodies with synth and guitar blaring. Sing and dance, friends. Sing and dance to this song. That... I'm just gonna read what you put there.
win in a fight? Chiptune or piano? Trick question. They would actually start tap dancing together while the entire world claps and cheers. Shnoobula knows this, and that's why he made Bimmy Whatcha Got, a bound-to-be-legendary remix of Double Dragon.
Aino Cascatalo is back with Catamus, a track in which he challenges himself to reuse an eclectic mix of old tracks and samples from his previous tracks, to mysterious and layered effect. If you want to space out while evoking memories of Hope and Lulu, you've come to the right place.
Takes Sonic Rush to its emotional limits with a remix that drags Hideki Naganuma's source material through a fierce soundscape of electronic mountains and valleys. Darker Than Black, well named. It's a mixture of chiptune, EDM, trap, and even a little rock. But not dubstep, however.
Starlight Buffalo makes his debut with an orchestral take on an oft-ignored track, The Temple of Time from Ocarina of Time. This nearly 6-minute journey explores the simple melody from every angle, weaving in an impressive variety of instrumentation and motifs before a rousing and unexpected rock-infused crescendo.
listen to all of these and more, head over to ocremix.org. That was a pretty awesome remix rewind.
It was pretty awesome. I enjoyed every song.
I enjoyed all of them but one.
Oh, no.
And we're moving on to Ripped, Zipped, and Extracted from the Headlines, our news segment. We have one piece of news, but we're going to spend 45 minutes talking about it.
That
because
is
it's Sonic related.
Literally no other news happened. Instead, we should all talk about the Sonic Appreciation Festival.
Yes. I did not know this was a thing until now. Did they rename the Sonic Boom to the Sonic Appreciation Festival?
I don't know, but it was in Tokyo, so there's no feasible way we could have gone.
They're feasible. We could have bought tickets to Tokyo.
If you count that as feasible, I suppose so.
Yes.
But excitingly, it was an event built for us specifically.
Yep.
Because not only was Jun Sanoh there, the guy who has done like Sonic Adventure and many wonderful, often guitar-focused Sonic games, mm-hmm. but Tomoyo Ohtani was there, who
yes.
has done a lot of more modern Sonic soundtracks, and they were both performing Sonic Runners music, which is maybe both of our soundtrack of the year from 2015.
Yeah, I absolutely love everything Tomoyo Ohtani's done for the series. It's so exciting to see another prolific composer kind of taking Sonic under his wing and giving it his style. It kind of got stuck with June for a really long time, and no one else was really stepping up to the plate with as much public awareness as June had. So it's really cool to see Tomoyo Ohtani do that.
I mean, it's hard to beat the public awareness of Crush 40.
It literally like play rock concerts for Sonic. Yeah.
Yeah. But Ohtani is doing a very good job.
Totally.
But the part of the news that came out of this wonderful celebration of all things good and decent is that Jun Sanoh is going to be following up his album The Works.
I love that album.
With an album called The Works 2.
It's good naming.
Yeah, it's a good name. I know that album was just a compilation of music from various places.
Correct.
That everything that he composed, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of curious to see what they include in the second one.
It's going to be all Shadow the Hedgehog music.
Well, but the thing is, when did the old one come out? Like,
I do 2009. Not actually know. Yeah,
2009.
Okay.
So how much has he really done in the Sonic series since 2009?
Well, it's not just the Sonic series.
Well, I know, but I'm just, the Works had a lot of Sonic music in it.
True. Well, maybe he'll go back to older Sonic stuff as well.
Maybe so. I guess it could really be anything.
Yeah.
So that's pretty exciting. I'm just curious to see how that turns out. I feel like we already own all of his music, but still.
Yeah, it might just be stuff I already own, but hey, I'd like to pay him more money to do stuff, so.
Yeah. And if you want to know more about this article and all of the things that it contained, you can go to vgmonline.net, which is where we got the story.
And good old Chris Greening, who writes like literally every article we read about.
Yeah,
we should have him on the show.
Yeah, we need to have him on the show just so he can like get us in touch with all of his contacts.
Yeah, how does he find out about all this stuff? What secret knowledge does he possess? He actually finds out about it by listening to our show. It's weird. Ooh. All right, well, that was a quick 45 minutes.
Yep, that's all the news for this week, folks.
Let's go ahead and move into something that's a little more groundbreaking, our in-tune interview with Sharik, otherwise known as Dark Sword.
Oh, I love Sharik, otherwise known as Dark Sword.
Me too.
Welcome back to another edition of the in-tune interview. This time we are talking to Sharik Ansari, but you might know him better as Dark Sword. And I'm guessing most people listening to an overclocked podcast already know about Dark Sword. So I'm back again. I'm Steven. Brian's here too.
Hello.
Amber joined by Dark Sword. Hey, how's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
So good. It's been a very fun month so far.
Yeah,
I've been
listening to the podcast and it's really good. I try to listen to it like every Monday or Tuesday. Yeah.
Well, thank you. That's very nice of you to say. Yeah, it's just honestly been one of the most fun projects that I think we've taken on in a very long time. So I'm glad you guys let us do it.
yeah, it's actually really good. Like, you're glad that we let you do it, but we're glad that you're just doing it because we don't have to do anything.
I can relate.
We have so many other things we need to do on OCR. We don't have time to just make a podcast also. So this is really good, and like, you know, it's really like well done, and people are listening to it. It's nice.
That's awesome. Yeah. It's a good working arrangement.
Yeah, exactly.
So speaking of all the things to do on OCR, could you maybe just give a quick introduction for those who don't know kind of who you are and what you do?
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure. Well, I have been on the site staff for a really, really, really long time. Probably 12, 13, maybe 14 years. I'm not sure. I kind of forget, you know, how long I've been on staff. I've been on staff for that long where I just don't even remember how long I've been on staff.
You are the staff. You are part of it. It is melded into your soul.
Yeah. I guess you could say I'm like the number three at OCR. So it's like Dave and then Larry and then me. Right. And we're kind of like the guys. And then also like Andy's kind of like really up there, Zircon. I'm a judge on the judges panel, so I take part in music evaluation. I'm a moderator / admin on the forums, so I kind of do some community management. I make a lot of appearances at conventions for OCR panels and stuff. I am an album director, so I have directed a ton of albums on OCR. I think we have some infographic somewhere where I actually have the most album direction credits because of all the fighting game albums we do and everything.
Oh yeah, that makes sense. Because when you were on Train Station or Date, our past video game podcast, we spent like half the time just talking about albums you were helping to produce.
Right. Yeah.
So that makes sense.
Yeah. So I kind of like direct some, but then I also have like a lot of ideas for albums. So I kind of take on like an executive producer role and have other people direct albums. What else? I'm a remixer. I actually make music on the site.
Oh, good.
So I got involved with the community. Right. And I also kind of manage the competitions on OCR. And we talked about this last time I was on TradeStation at eight. There's like a whole bunch of like big remix competition, tournament style remix competitions on OCR.
Yeah.
And I don't run all of them. I run the Mega Man ones, but I kind of help manage what the other competition runners are doing and sort of schedule stuff out and provide support for that. I also tweet sometimes on the OC Remix Twitter. That's mostly Larry, but I also take part in that. And I also sometimes, very rarely, am involved with the Facebook social media stuff too.
And that's why we needed to make the podcast.
Right. Exactly. Well, I mean, yeah. Also, I used to host OCR Talkback, which was a live OCR Hangout, Google Hangout that we used to do. People have been asking me to bring it back. I just don't have a lot of time.
Yeah.
My social life is
aforementioned list.
Yeah. Well, like it's that, and then my social life has taken off recently, and then, you know, I just have a lot of work. I just want to play video games, man.
That too. Just...
Yeah, I echo everything you just said. And you know, it's interesting though, because Shark was actually the first one from OCR who we talked to about putting this podcast together. It was after he was on the Train Station or Date show, and we started saying, "Hey, you guys don't have a podcast anymore." And Shark, I think you said something like, "Well, that's because we don't have time. But if you want to make one for us,
I think I was like, you guys can do it." I think that's all it was.
So if anyone likes this podcast they're listening to, send nice tweets over to Shark because
that's not necessary.
Get it all going. So it's pretty awesome stuff. But I mean, all of that work actually ties really well, both being an OC remixer and a director, into what we're talking about today for albums, because the song you wanted to bring was from an OC remix album you helped direct.
Yes, kind of helped direct.
Right, it was that executive kind of producer role.
Yeah, I had the idea for it.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of a story behind this album. So at conventions, we like to give out physical copies of albums.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, so we like do like professionally printed and like, you know, really nice disc art and cover art and all this stuff. And a couple years ago, we kind of were running super, super low on... some of our single disc albums. So I said, hey, you know what, like Otakon's coming up. We should do like a really quick and dirty single disc album, and then print it up, not even like digipack, but like a little like sleeve style packaging. So let's put together like a single disc album, and then we can get it printed up for Otakon. And then, you know, when we go to Otakon, we have albums to give out. So, you know, I talked about it with the other staff and they were like, yeah, that's a great idea. And then I came up with the idea of, okay, well, you know, people at Otakon, there's a huge Pokemon, you know, that's kind of like, if you're talking about anime and video game fan crossover, Pokemon is kind of a really good nexus.
Yeah, everyone has at least experienced it, even if they don't love it.
Yeah, exactly. So yep. I figured like that would be a good franchise to tackle because we would really get a lot of buzz at Otakon for it.
A lot of Electabuzz.
Exactly. Ooh. Sorry.
That was pretty good.
So I came up with this idea of, okay, so there's Eevee and then, you know, we have all the Eeveelutions and stuff. So let's do like an album where every track is one of the Eeveelutions. And I got Theory of N, Dustin Legale. He's a really, really talented remixer on OC Remix. He's on the staff he's called a workshop mod. So he does like evaluations for stuff before it gets submitted to OC Remix. I asked him like, hey, do you want to direct this? Because I need someone to direct it because I have other stuff I have to do. And he was like, sure, I'll do it because he really likes Pokemon. And so he kind of got the ball rolling and he said, do you want to do a track? I said, yeah, let me do Eevee. I'll do the first track and then we'll roll with it. And so he got a whole bunch of amazing artists for the album, like Ben Briggs and Phonetic Hero and
all these
guys who are like, you know, way, way awesome. And, you know, we put together this great album and then he got his friend to do the cover art, which is so iconic looking, you know, with the little stripes and the Eevee.
That's one of my favorite OCR cover arts of the time.
It's like one of our best looking albums, I think. And then, you know, Jose put the trailer together. I don't know if you've ever watched the trailer, but it's great. It's all about like evolution and like Darwin. And it's really
cool.
That.
Yes, I saw it today.
Yeah, it's great. So that project kind of came together really nicely. I got a chance to be on it. So it was pretty cool. That's the album. That's the story behind the album. And, awesome. You know, we give it out at conventions and stuff and people love it. You know, they get super excited when they see the cover art and everything. So
I'd be excited for that one. I was, the cover art, especially just so striking. So awesome.
And it's kind of a theme throughout the whole album. Cause like you mentioned, each evolution, including original Eevee, has, you know, a specific, not only just a remix, but a style that kind of tries to mimic that evolution of Eevee.
Yeah, exactly.
And
that
for
was the idea.
Non-Pokemon fans out there, Eevee is the Pokemon who can, depending on the type of stone or whatever that you give Eevee, he slash she will evolve into a myriad of different elemental and sort of... Like, I don't even know some of them. Some of them are like elements past when I was paying attention to Pokemon. So
newest one is like fairy type or something.
Right.
Like,
so if fairy is an element, then yes.
I don't know. Yeah.
But it's one of the most interesting Pokemon out there.
Yeah.
And like, for example, like Brandon Strader did like this really, like, it sounds like it's played around the campfire because his evolution was a fire Pokemon. I think Ben Briggs have the, who had Jolteon?
I think that's Ben.
Was it Ben? And it has this really like pulsating.
Jolteon was Jake Snake.
Jake
Snake, okay. 17.
No, Ben was Umbreon, I think. He was Umbreon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yep, that is accurate.
But you get my point. The instrumentation is really reflected by the, you know, elemental phase of Eevee.
Yeah.
So my question for you is, since you had just plain old vanilla Eevee, like, how did you decide on the style?
Okay, well, I wanted to do something very heroic. And kind of like there's a lot of possibilities, you know, and that's why the title of the track is called The Destiny Infinite, because there's all these different things that can happen with Eevee. And, you know, it's kind of like a meta thing for Pokemon. You can go any which way, you know, you can do all these different things. So I wanted to do something very epic and really heroic. So I started a track and it was kind of like an attempt at doing something like really big and brassy. And I used to watch the Pokemon anime when I was younger, and I always really liked that one song that I remixed when it was in the show, because it felt very heroic. So I was like, I'm gonna do that song because that's probably my favorite song from Pokemon.
And which song is that?
Honestly, I don't remember. Like, it's like Root something. I think it's like
Wait, is this the one that ended up in the final version?
Yeah,
of this. Yeah. I think it's Road to Cerulean.
Yeah, Road to Cerulean. That's right.
Right.
Because I've just like played very little Pokemon.
Yeah.
I've played a little bit, and I don't know like I don't know the names of the tracks, but like the back of my hand, like
I just know the
like,
melodies.
Yeah.
Like, well, I mean, some of the tracks are like Route 42.
Yeah. It's like I don't know the numbers, man. Like, so I wanted to do something like that. So I was starting like this kind of like big orchestral craziness, and it was not working. It just was not working at all. And I was having like all these problems with the track, so I just threw it out. And then I tried to do it again, but with like a different feel, like a triplet feel, and that was not working either. So I threw that one out. Mm-hmm. And then I went into my my projects folder in FL Studio, which is the DAW I use. Mm-hmm. And I have, you know, probably like, you know, 100, 200 just like works in progress, sketches, doodles and stuff that I just have in FL Studio that I've worked on over the years. And I started like poking around in my, you know, my projects folder, and I found this one sketch that I did, which was kind of like this electronic thing that I was just messing around with some samples and some drum beats and stuff. And I was like, maybe I can use this. So I kind of started adjusting the chords a little bit, and I dropped that melody in, and it just worked. It clicked. And I was just like, okay, that's it. I'm going with this. So I started like, you know, playing with it more and expanding it and doing all these little, like, you know, little techniques that I learned over the years, because it was a pretty old doodle, and I just started like growing and changing and stuff. And you know, and that's kind of how it happened, and that's where that song came from. So
I love the stories of trials and of failures.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then having to pull something out from
sometimes
that.
All exactly. You need is like that first step, that little bit beyond the blank page to get you.
Right.
Yeah.
Thinking. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
So with that said, I think this is a good little break to go in and play the Destiny Infinite from the Eevee EP. And then we will be back to keep talking about it.
Great.
And we are back. That was the Destiny Infinite by Darksword, and as part of the EVEP, which, is, by the way, is also one of the best named albums from OC Remix.
Right, except it's like way longer than a traditional EP should be. It's like a full album.
Yeah, that's one of the problems. It's like it's really not an EP.
I think we were just like, you know what? Let's stay with it. Let's.
Yeah, you can't pass that up.
Yeah.
So, were there any source tunes you used for this other than that Road to Cerulean, or was that all, were all the melodies from that song?
Well, that middle part that we heard is it's the main theme of Pokemon, like the main title. So it's like that bum 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 ba da dum. So whenever I write a remix, I always try to have like a middle section which does something different. So if like the start of the song is a lot more energetic, then the middle section will kind of bring it down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Or if I have a song where the start of the song is like really kind of slow, I might speed it up in the middle and then come back to something slower. That's something you see in pretty much all of my remixes. It's kind of like this A section, B section, A section.
In this case, I feel like the piano melody playing the main Pokemon theme definitely kind of messed with the rhythm and slowed things down and sort of gave you something different to think about.
Yeah, it was meant to be a little bit more like pensive and kind of like sort of, like there's big things happening, but not yet. You know what I mean?
It all sounds like it's on the cusp of some new adventure.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, that's the whole theme of the entire piece, which is, you know, kind of like, how to say it?
Great things are to come.
Great things to come. Anything can happen, you know.
Yeah.
We can go anywhere. We can do anything.
Which I think is very much a broad theme in Pokemon itself, which is maybe reason the Pokemon theme works so well there.
I was going to say, do you think that the original source tune has the same feeling, or did you try to add that to it?
I think the original source tune in for the main title, at least, it's more about just like, this is an adventure, you know. This is a really fun adventure. You're going to make a lot of friends and you know, that kind of thing, you know, very morals. Kind of like adolescent kind of like shonen style, kind of thing. And I tried to add a little bit more about like, okay, like you're setting off on something that's way bigger than what you thought it was going to be.
Right, there's a certain maturity to it there.
Yeah, exactly.
And, like, weirdly, I feel like it has an aura of nostalgia for something that hasn't happened yet. That makes sense.
I guess so, yeah.
To me, at least. Right.
So what do you think your favorite part of this remix was? Was it that middle section, or did you like the opening?
Yeah, I kind of like when the horns come in and sort of double on the melody. There's that, you know, because there's that, you know, bam ba da dum ba da dum bam ba da 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 dum ba dum. So that's in the piano first, and it kind of like, it's cool because it's like, it's not like a big sound, and it's sort of floating over like the electronic stuff underneath and the drums and stuff. But then it kind of just like, let's just double that in the horns and then kind of intensify everything, and now it feels really heroic. So it kind of opens up and becomes a bigger sound. And that's what I wanted to do.
How much of that was there when you pulled out that, you know, old practice piece?
It was a lot of the drums, kind of like that weird electronic kind of feel underneath. Uh-huh. That opening, like, bum, 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 that in the very beginning, that was all there. Uh-huh. And then there was an old piano melody there. And then that's all I had. So then I changed the piano melody. I changed the chords to fit underneath. I did some interesting things with the drums. So the percussion in this track, it's a technique that I've been using in a couple tracks.
Right.
Past couple tracks, I've been using this technique where the percussion is actually a little bit randomized. In terms of, so I'm using like a random arpeggiator on my drum kit in order to add dynamic variation.
Okay.
Are you talking about the pitch or the timing?
No, not the timing, not the pitch, but the actual samples that get triggered.
Okay.
And this is a little bit technical, but you know.
Oh, go for it. I was like, dive in. Yeah.
So when you have like an arpeggiator, mm-hmm. Basically, like if you play a chord, the arpeggiator will separate that chord out into different. It'll play all the notes in the chord.
Yes.
Right. Okay, that's basically how an arpeggiator works. So you hold down a chord and it'll like da na 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 na. Yeah. Now that's what an arpeggiator does. So if you have a drum kit, which is like mapped, MIDI mapped to like different notes, mm-hmm. right? So if you have the kick drums on C and then the snare drum is on E and then, you know, you have your hats on like F sharp and A sharp. If you play that as a chord and you have an arpeggiator going, then it's going to play the notes in the chord, even though those are just different drum samples. Mm-hmm. So what you do is if you use a random arpeggiator, then it'll play those notes in a random order. Now, if you make it so that it only randomizes the first note, right? So if the arpeggiator mm-hmm. Only like plays a note every quarter note, every beat.
Yeah.
But then you only make the thing like an eighth note long, it's only ever going to play one note in the chord. And if it's random, it's going to play a random one. So let's say you have two snares and you put an arpeggiator on them. Whenever the arpeggiator goes, it's going to pick one of the snares. And you don't know which one. So now you have a random dynamically triggered snare sound.
Totally.
And it adds a little bit of variation every time you run through the pattern.
Yeah.
Okay. So, it's like super.
So like what inspired you to want to do that? Because I get the concept you're talking about, but like, was it just wanting to make the drums pop more? Like, do you play them live or do drum tracks?
I do drum tracks. I mostly do everything, you know, tracks.
Exactly. And I guess it was like a problem of those sometimes sounding too predictable, too rote.
Like, writing drums is hard sometimes, man.
Yeah. And
it's just like, you know what? If I could just make this easier, because like, you know, a big complaint is like, that you see is if you write drums and it's just the same thing over and over again, it sounds like they're on autopilot.
Yes.
And it sounds the same, like the same exact drum loop over and over and over again. And you want some variation in your percussion tracks. So I kind of figured out a lazy way of putting variation in my percussion tracks. There's actually like a couple other things going on. Like there's like a beat slicer.
Yeah.
In there also, that's also using that random arpeggiator to trigger different slices. Mm-hmm. So it uses like this thing called gross beat, which re-triggers a drum loop. So there's like multiple levels of randomization happening in the drums, and it creates like if you just focus on the drum track in that song, you'll hear that from measure to measure, from bar to bar, the drum track is slightly different every time.
That's really cool. And I think you were saying kind of a lazy way out. That is one way to describe it. But I also think in this world of virtual and one-man music, like automation is kind of your best friend in a lot of ways. Like,
yeah,
you could take 10 hours to do any one thing. But
yeah. And, you know, I've discussed this technique with other artists, you know, like Chimpazilla, she's a judge on OC Remix. She's a really talented musician. And she was like, I can never do that. I need like total control over over my drums. And I'm like, yeah, you do, but I honestly don't. I would rather, because also it's kind of fun for me because I'm a programmer. That's my job.
Right.
And, it's kind of fun for me to come up with like these creative ways of like introducing like, you know, dynamic and like random, you know, stuff. And the thing is, I'm still writing my drum tracks.
Totally.
Because you can't just like throw everything in there, stick the randomizer on and get cool drum tracks. I have to sit there and write the drum tracks and then, you know, make really specific decisions about, you know, what I'm going to switch between and you know, all those things. So,
it's sort of just a different layer of creativity.
Yeah.
In a way. And I'm also I must be improving because I think I followed 90% of that, which is, for me, that's extraordinary.
Right.
So the EVEP, right, is everyone really loves it. Really cool. So we're actually working on a follow-up to the EVEP.
Oh.
Yeah.
Gas.
So I can talk. I posted about this on the forum, so this is not a secret. But gotcha. So the idea is Pokemon Starters.
Oh, that's amazing. How many
are there? So what we're going to do is we have the first starters are obvious, like the classic ones, Bulbasaur, Charmander, and Squirtle. So what we're doing is we're making an album where we give three artists, Squirtle, Charmander, and Bulbasaur. And then once those three artists finish their remixes, they pass their remixes on to three other artists who will do what are the evolutions? Ivysaur, Wartortle, and
Charmeleon.
They'll do remixes for those. So what they'll do is they'll look at the so Charmeleon, the artist doing Charmeleon will look at the remix for Charmander,
right?
And sort of use some of those elements that the previous artist did and use those in their remixes. But they'll also do like their own remix.
Really,
and then they'll go up to Charizard, and Charizard will be an evolution. So there will be three sets of remixes, and it kind of like each set is like an evolution. So
it's a super neat idea.
Okay, and here's my contribution to this idea. Then you guys need to make an EP on top of that to do the mega evolutions.
Yeah, and then also Pikachu for Pokemon Yellow, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Just got to do the Pikachu EP.
It's perfect. Oh, that's so cool. Yeah.
But it's pretty exciting. Theory of N is back. He's directing that one. And what we're planning on doing is doing that like as an album series, hopefully. So once we do the first region, and then we'll go on to the next starters, and you know, eventually we'll try to cover all of the different generations of starters.
Wow, that's going to keep you guys busy for a while.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. I have been tasked with writing the remix for Squirtle.
Good.
I need to get on that.
So do you have source tunes decided, or are you allowed to choose what you want for the source?
We're allowed to choose. Dustin recommended one to me. I'm gonna check it out, and then I got working on it. So
that's awesome.
Pretty exciting.
Fantastic.
I think I'd also like to close out by mentioning that this is actually my favorite remix of yours.
Oh, Charlie, really? That's cool.
Which is one reason I picked it.
I think it's also my favorite on the album.
Cool.
Thank you. That's really nice.
There's some pretty awesome ones that are kind of in competition with me for that, but it's definitely up there.
Yeah.
But interestingly, and you probably don't even remember the Shark, but remix was the first time that I ever interacted with you at all.
Really?
Because I had tweeted out, I think I just tagged you on Twitter or something saying like, I was having a horrible day, and then this Destiny Infinite song played, and it turned everything around. And then you like tweeted back something like, the Destiny is infinite. Oh, yeah. I'm like, oh, that Shark guy's cool.
I just said something really corny, probably.
Yeah. And I'm like, that's awesome. And then like probably a year later, I'm like, wait, we got to get that guy on Train Station.
That's really funny.
And now we're here.
Now you're doing the official podcast of Overclock Remix. There you go.
Yeah. So the Destiny is infinite.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Look at all that loop around.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you very much for joining us today, Shark. It was a blast.
Thank you for having me, guys. This is great. I just keep doing what you're doing. This is awesome.
Steven, I believe you meant to say it was a ball, a Pokeball.
Oh, dad jokes again. It's our thing.
Yeah.
Now we'll take you back to the show. I still love Sharuk, also known as Dark Sword.
Me too.
And if you love Sharuk, then you'll
also known as Dark Sword.
And you'll want to go to www.ocremix.org and download all the music there and find us on the forums. You can also find us on Twitter. We're OCR Podcast over there. And you can send us questions or submissions for the playlist. And email works for that as well. podcast@ocremix.org. And we're also part of the Whales Are Whales network. You can find our other shows at whalesarewhales.com. That's whales, A-R-E, whales.com.
That's C-O-M.
Yeah, yeah, thanks for clarifying that.
You're welcome.
So, thanks for listening to our first episode of the year.
Bye, everyone!
But don't we need to say we need to go to the playlist, not by
oops.
Everyone?
We're going to the playlist now!
The playlist is a weekly collection of recommendations so we can all discover music together. This week's theme is Best of 2015 Expansion Pack.
Undertale from Undertale, submitted by the Super Mercado Bros.
The main theme from Triforce Heroes, submitted by the Super Mercado Bros.
Rayquind Takes to the Club. Originally from Final Fantasy VII and remixed by Benjamin Wallace. Submitted by Laura Intravia slash Intravia slash Intravia slash In. Thank you.
Play With Me. Originally from The Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening and remixed by DDR Kirby ISQ and submitted by me.
Stratification, originally from Chrono Trigger and remixed by Melody, submitted by me. You've been listening to the Overclocked Podcast. Next week's playlist is Rap and Hip Hop. Please ensure that your submission is a happenin' jam. To submit your suggestions or just say hey-o, hit us up on Twitter at OCR Podcast, email us at podcast@ocrremix.org, or visit us on the forums at ocrremix.org. This week's Lyrical Wisdom.
I am the Eggman. That's what I am. I am the Eggman. I got the master plan. I am the Eggman. That's what I am. I am the Eggman. I got the master plan.
Catamus by Ino Cascatello. I know.